This was an article by Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzedak. It's called The Role of Kabbalah in the Founding of the United States of America. The Role of Kabbalah. Kabbalah is a Jewish system of occult witchcraft and magic. And this rabbi says that, in fact, the very founding of America was based on the Kabbalistic witchcraft religion of the Jews. Of course, he doesn't call it witchcraft because he believes it's holy. But we're going to talk about that. A lot of people don't understand this, my friends, but if you look at the $1 bill and you go to the back, you not only see the all-seeing eye of Horus, the sun god, here on the pyramid, but look on the other side of the dollar bill. And there you see the great eagle, the symbol and of the United States of America from almost its foundation. But at the very top, you see 13 stars in the sun's glory in a circle. But those stars are, in fact, designed as a secret Star of David. The Jewish Star of David reigns over America and has from the very beginning. This is the great seal of the United States. Now, the Jews founded Freemasonry in the United States. A man named Stephen Morin came over, a Frenchman, but he was a Jew. And he went to the West Indies and he began to train Americans. And then they came to the United States and founded the Illuminati Lodges. Mr. Morin came in the year 1760. And I have much documentation on this. This is from the New Age magazine. Remember, the New Age magazine. It's now changed its name because it was a little bit too enlightening to us. It's now called simply the Scottish Rite Journal. This is the largest Masonic organization in the world. And here is just one of their issues from several years ago. It says, I am proud to be a Mason. It has a picture of a rabbi on the very front cover. Because Jews today are at the forefront in international Freemasonry. And listen to me very closely, my friends. There is a Grand Lodge of the State of Israel. There is a lodge, a Masonic Lodge of Jerusalem. They meet secretly in Zedekiah's cave, deep under in the tunnels underneath Jerusalem today. And I prove that in our video, the Masonic Lodge over Jerusalem. Now let's get to America again. Remember what I just told you, that from the very beginning, Jews, Illuminati Jews now, not just everyday Jews, Illuminati Jews, the elite, have control much of what happened in America, even to our very foundations. In this book, 10,000 famous Freemasons, put out by the Masonic organization itself, 10,000 famous Freemasons, is the story of a man named Chaim Solomon. They say he is one of the 10,000 most famous Freemasons in the world. They say that he lived from 1740 to 1785. Chaim Solomon. Who is Chaim Solomon? It says he's an American merchant and was financier of the American Revolution. He came to America in 1772 and founded a brokerage business in New York City. He gave financial aid to many political, to many patriot leaders, including Jefferson, Madison, and Randolph. My friends, what does it mean? It says also he was paymaster general of the French forces in America. Yes, we had some French here. He negotiated all the war subsidies obtained from France and Holland. Here is a man who was the financier of the American Revolution. He was on the American side, but he was sent over from the Rothschilds, my friends. The immortal Rothschilds, they're called in the Jerusalem Report. And so, Chaim Solomon was the man from the Rothschild dynasty who founded the American Revolution in the fact that he funded it. He gave it the money from the Rothschilds. Isn't that amazing to you, my friends, that America was founded with Jewish money from the super bankers, the head of the Illuminati in Europe and throughout the world at that time, and even today, the Rothschild family? Chaim Solomon, this book, A History of the Jews in America, of course, by a Jewish gentleman, Howard Sakar. A History of the Jews in America also talks about Chaim Solomon. And it, too, calls him the financier of the revolution. Notice what they said in these books, that Mr. Solomon also gave sums of money to Madison, to Washington, and all the others. He gave them money. There's no record they ever paid it back. Were these bribes for them to rebel against Great Britain? Some astonishing things there. In this book, The Jewish Connection, Mr. Goldberg, also Jewish, talked again about Chaim Soloman and called him the financier of the revolution. Also in the book, he says that Mr. Soloman, this is on page 154 of the book, that Chaim Soloman gave people such as Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and James Monroe money. They acknowledged their personal debt to Soloman, who is, quote, a wealthy Jew who helped finance the American Revolution. Soloman helped the economically struggling future presidents when the U.S. Treasury ran short by advancing them money with which to live. The presidents of the Continental Congress were given money to live by Mr. Soloman. You know, Cornwallis, the general who lost to Washington, said something in the book Legions of Satan by Jonathan Williams in 1781. Now remember, this is the general that lost to Washington. And he said this. He said, a holy war will now begin on America. And when it is ended, America will be supposedly the citadel of freedom, but her millions will unknowingly be loyal subjects. Your churches will be used to teach the Jews religion, and in less than 200 years, the whole nation of America will be working for divine world government. All religions will be permeated with Judaism without even being noticed by the masses, and they will all be under the invisible, all-seeing eye of the grand architect of Freemasonry. That was what General Cornwallis said to Washington. Now, we move on in history just a little bit. We get to President Harry Truman. President Harry Truman. Let's see if we have a picture of Harry Truman. Yes, we do. Harry Truman, president right after Franklin Roosevelt. Of course, we can talk about Franklin Roosevelt all day because he so favored the Jews, and Bernard Baruch, the Jewish financier, also ran the FDR administration. In the book by Israel Shahak called Jewish History, Jewish Religion, Israel Shahak is a great Jewish man. He passed away just a few years ago. And Israel Shahak talked about these kinds of things. The foreword of the book was by famous novelist Gore Vidal. He said there that John F. Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy, had confided to him that Harry Truman went to the United Nations and asked that Israel be made an independent nation after World War II because he was given $2 million in bribe money in a suitcase. It was brought to him by wealthy Jewish financiers on his campaign train. Of course, Harry Truman was a 33rd degree Mason. Now, what other presidents have been controlled? I believe most of the American presidents have been controlled by Jewish influence, especially in recent years. This is some material somebody sent me. This is actually the page out of the West Point yearbook. Now, the U.S. Military Academy that we just call West Point in New York State. Picture of a man. Guess who it is? It's Dwight D. Eisenhower when he graduated from West Point. His yearbook says something very interesting about him. It notes he's from Abilene, Kansas. Let me just read it to you. It says, this is Senior Dwight David Eisenhower, gentlemen, the terrible Swedish Jew. They call him a Jew. Maybe Americans didn't know they had a Jewish president. But isn't that interesting that they call him the Swedish Jew in the U.S. Military Academy's yearbook? Now, we go on to one president, Richard Nixon. Evidently, he didn't get along with the Jewish elite and the Illuminati. He said this. This was on the tapes released, Nixon tapes released by the National Archives. President Richard Nixon said in a private conversation, Jews are all over the government. Most Jews are disloyal to America. Most Jews in America, he said, are disloyal to America, meaning their first loyalty, even if they're, You know, American citizens, even if they were born in America, according to Nixon, most Jews, their first loyalty, those in high up levels of government, is to Israel, not the United States. They have a splitting then of their loyalties, but most of the loyalty, he said, goes to Israel. Some people said, well, he was paranoid. He was anti-Semitic. But in fact, President Richard Nixon was forced out of office because the Washington Post and the New York Times ran a series of smear articles on him. I'm not saying he was a good guy. I'm just simply saying high-level Jewish billionaires said, we must destroy this man. We must get rid of him. And they did. One man that was controlled quite a bit by the Jews was this man, George Bush. He fought the Persian Gulf War as much for them as for the Kuwaitis. Here he is at the Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish ADL meeting. I believe that's the Jewish ADL. The B'nai B'rith, which is part of the ADL network. He was one of their speakers. But the president of the United States that has most been controlled by the Jews, and willingly so, has been Bill Clinton. Here's an interesting article. Look at this. The feature from the Jerusalem Report. There is President Clinton, and he's with Rabbi Menachem Ganach, head of the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations. And there they are, buddies. Clinton's intriguing kinship, not just friendship, kinship with the Jews. Many people believe that Bill Clinton was, in fact, Jewish. And when I have some documentation. Hillary Clinton, during the final year of the Clinton administration, she actually admitted that she was Jewish. She said, my grandmother was Jewish. She actually spoke Yiddish. Hillary Clinton made many of these same kind of admissions when she was running for senator in New York. Hillary Rodham Clinton is Jewish. She says she is. And it's been in all the New York newspapers. Now, when we look at the people who spent the night at the White House, and remember how Clinton, they said, charged people to spend, actually all of his benefactors and big givers, political givers, stayed at the White House. Here was from Time magazine back September the 2nd, 1996, and it talked about who spent the most time at the White House with Bill Clinton, who spent, you know, the night with him. The one who spent the most was Edith and Lou Wasserman, Jewish, former chairman of MCI Universal Studios. They put out the hideous movie blaspheming Jesus, The Last Temptation of Christ. He gave Bill Clinton $459,000 plus $134,000 almost from MCA Universal Studios. Then Barbara and Steven Grossman, president of the Massachusetts Envelope Company, Jewish. They stayed with Clinton at the White House frequently. They gave him $437,000 campaign contributions. Third was David Geffen, the movie producer. He gave Clinton over $400,000 total. He was Jewish. Eileen and Peter Norton were Jewish. They're of Norton Utilities Software. Then finally there was Lorraine and Sidney Sheinberg, two of the richest people in the world, also with MCA Universal Studios. Gave Clinton over $267,000 campaign contributions. All of Clinton's money virtually came from rich Jews. Now, here's an item that just came out of the National Vanguard magazine back in 1996. It says one of Bill Clinton's old pals died in May, a victim of cancer. He was David Ifshin, Jewish, who used to march with Clinton and pro-Viet Cong demonstrations in the 60s. Ifshin, at that time, headed the Communist Front National Student Association. He went to Hanoi, North Vietnam, and made radio broadcasts for the communists, in which he urged American soldiers to turn their guns against their own officers. This Jewish man, David Ifshin, marched with Bill Clinton against America in anti-America pro-Viet Cong communist rallies. That's what it says. Astonishing, isn't it? How many of the American people knew that? Now, we look at all of Bill Clinton's cabinet members. We look at the people all around him that he put in office, including the Supreme Court justices that he appointed. Jew, 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 Jew. Here shows Bill Clinton with Stephen Breyer. Breyer, let me just switch this over here so the camera can see a little bit better. Stephen Breyer, one of the most liberal judges, if not the liberal, on the U.S. Supreme Court today. Jewish fanatic appointed by Bill Clinton to office. Here's a picture of a second Supreme Court justice appointed by Bill Clinton, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Here she wrote an article. This is published by the American Jewish Committee called What Being Jewish Means to Me. In this article, she says that the Jewish Talmud, that's the same horrible history of traditions of Judaism, that's their holy book. It's a book that calls Jesus a bastard and Mary a whore. It's the most horrible, blasphemous book, the Talmud. She said that's her daily guide for living, Justice Ginsburg. Her husband is a big law a professor and a lawyer, and is one of the chief lawyers for Ross Perot, the Texas billionaire. You see how the little tight click is. Here, by the way, is just another article that came out about what I just told you. Supreme Court gives Justice gives Talmud credit for her judicial career. Here we have some pictures from Criminal Politics magazine. It has a picture here of Bill Clinton with Justice Breyer, his appointee. And then below that shows a picture of Bill Clinton in a Jewish synagogue. Notice the yarmulke, the skull cap on his head. By the way, some more people who have made note of the fact that the Jews now run Clinton's court. This is from the bulletin of the Committee to Restore the Constitution. They noticed that. And then we have this article by Evanon Bar Yosef, a Jewish reporter from the Hebrew Press. Look at that. The Jews who run Clinton's court. Even the Jewish press sources knew that to be so. Now, Time magazine had an interesting cover. Talked about the most powerful financial mavens in America. Here is Alan Greenspan. He's Jewish. They say he's the most powerful man in the world. He runs the Federal Reserve System, the banking system of the United States, which controls the banking system of the world, supposedly. Of course, there's the little deal of the Rothschilds who control it, but that's another matter. There we have Alan Greenspan, who's Jewish. And then on the side of Greenspan, right here, we have Mr. Rubin, the Secretary of Treasury, a Wall Streeter. Under Bill Clinton, he's the Secretary of Treasury. On the other side of Alan Greenspan, we have Mr. Summers, who's head of the economic advisors for Bill Clinton. There they are. And it says, this is the committee. Look what it says there. The Committee to Save the World. They keep the world from financial disaster. They watch over the stock market. They're the plunge committee or whatever it's called. All Jews. Here's a man that ran the American trade program. He established a free trade program. He worked with the NAFTA, he and Carla Hills and so forth. Mickey Cantor, under Bill Clinton. He's Jewish. Now, in Parade magazine, which is one of the largest distribution magazines in the United States, is distributed in almost every newspaper in the United States. Tens of millions of copies. It talked about the new CIA under Bill Clinton. Here is Mr. John Deutsch, the director of the CIA. Here's one of the top executives, Nora Slotkin, of the CIA. And then there, the magazine says that this is David Cohen, the deputy director of operations for the CIA. And Parade magazine doesn't make a big deal of it, but the fact is that all three of these people are Jews. The top three people in the Central Intelligence Agency, our nation's premier spy agency, all Jews. Okay? And remember what I said about this man, Tenet, being identified in Parade magazine which the editorial is run by Jews, by the way, was identified as David Cohen. David Cohen. Now, next month in Parade Magazine comes a correction. Yes, it says that indeed, John Deutsch and Nora Slotkin are pictured, but the third person is not David Cohen, which is a Jewish name, but is George Tenet. They said they accidentally misidentified him. Well, you know, this happens so often. Jews change their names and hide the fact that they're Jews. But George Tenet is clearly Jewish. He is, by the way, the current head of the CIA under George Bush. Now, in the Spotlight newspaper, was this incredible information that most Americans never heard about? It seems that John Deutsch, who had been made director of the CIA, turned out to be a CIA spy of Israel. He was head of our CIA, but reportedly he spied for Israel. And, in fact, he was found out to be a spy for Israel and evidently turned over information to him by putting it in his portable computer and taking it home and then turning it over to Mossad Israeli spy agents. Can you imagine the head of the CIA turning out to be a spy for Israel? Talks about his dual loyalties. All of this, of course, has been covered up. Here's another article that came out about that. He was a big buddy, by the way, of Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State under Richard Nixon, also Jewish. Now, we keep going on with all of the information we've got about this. Oh, I wish I had more time because we have so much to reveal to you today. Here under Bill Clinton is his Secretary of Agriculture, Dan Glickman. He is a 33rd degree Mason, and he's Jewish. Then below, this is a page from Criminal Politics Magazine. Look at this picture. This is pretty shocking, if you will. Here you have Louis Free, head of the FBI under Bill Clinton. Louis Free, the Waco monster that killed all those people. And there is Stephen Kahn and the head of the Jewish ADL, Anti-Defamation League. You'll see, by the way, the Jewish Star of David on the wall behind the picture of Abe Boxman, head of the Jewish ADL. And then in the middle, in the center, is Louis Free, who was a Jesuit, a Mason, and a promoter of Judaism within the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He did everything Israel asked him to do. And there's another Jewish high up, Mr. Kahn. Then here's an interesting article. It says the Israeli paper, Mahariv, that's one of the largest circulation newspapers, daily newspapers in Israel today, boasts of Jewish control of U.S. government. Below it says it's an exact reproduction of Israel's leading Hebrew language daily newspaper of September 2, 1994, written by Avinon Bor Yosef, this article. And it talks about the various people in the Clinton administration. Basically, it says Clinton's administration is run by Jews. It's a Jewish administration. There is author on the left is Arthur Levitt, chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. He's supposed to be in charge of watching the Wall Streeters. Stuart Eisenstadt, U.S. ambassador to the European community. There's Madeleine Albright, who discovered she was Jewish. Suddenly, it came out in some newspapers that she was hiding the fact that she was Jewish and says, oh, yes. I have now discovered that I'm Jewish. I didn't know before, she stated. Madeleine Albright, she was a communist, by the way. Her father was a communist. She was a communist. She became Secretary of State under Bill Clinton. And here is Bill Clinton, a picture of him on the right, worshiping in Washington, D.C.'s National Synagogue. Notice again the yarmulke on his head. Here again we have a picture of Bill and Hillary Clinton worshiping together. How about this picture, my friends? There they are, and what is on his head? A Jewish skullcap, a yarmulke. Is he, in fact, a hidden Jew? When Hillary Clinton visited Jerusalem, she went to the Wailing Wall, the temple remains, and just like all the other Jews did, she put her little prayer request in the crack there. Here, by the way, is Madeleine Albright meeting with a Jewish rabbi. She went to visit her parents' grave at Prague, Czechoslovakia. She's actually a Czechoslovakian. Bill Clinton, all these foreign Jews in power with him. There she is meeting at the cemetery where her parents are buried with a Jewish rabbi. If you want to know why we have such immigration problems, here's the woman who was head of immigration, the Immigration Naturalization Service under Bill Clinton. And what ethnic group do you think she's with? Of course, she's Jewish, Doris Meisner. Our country was run by Jews who I believe were more loyal to Israel than they were the United States. Well, let's see, we've got so much more for you. We go to another man, Al Gore. There's no doubt that Al Gore is run by the Jewish Illuminati. Here in Insight magazine, here was an article, Armin Hammer haunts Al Gore. It's because Armin Hammer was a Jewish multimillionaire who gave many bribes and payoffs to Al Gore. And, by the way, he was a Soviet agent, Armin Hammer. Big friend of the whole Gore family, including Albert Gore Sr., Al Gore Jr.'s father. Now, here's something from the Jerusalem Post newspaper. And it talks about Al Gore. It says, when Gore came for the Jubilee celebration in Israel, it gave me a great feeling. The same is true of the Russians. When they see senior Israeli officials rubbing shoulders with their Russian counterparts. This is not dual loyalty, says Eli Kotzen, Jewish reporter, but dual patriotism. Oh, sure. By the way, this is just an article out of the Los Angeles Times, very interesting. It says many of Japan's tabloids demonstrate hysterical anti-Semitism. The papers in Japan incessantly, that is continually, portray Clinton's victory as a Jewish conspiracy. Isn't that interesting? The papers in Japan know what Americans do not know. Here's an interesting article talking about Tel Aviv, Israel, tapping the White House phones, knowing everything President Clinton is saying. The fourth branch admits Tel Aviv tap on White House phones. Everything Clinton said, he better be a loyal subject of Israel because they were tapping his phones. You remember that's what Bill Clinton told Monica Lewinsky? My phones are tapped by another country. We can't talk. By the way, Bill Clinton's chief political advisor, James Carville, the raging Cajun, they called him. Did you know that when Bill Clinton wanted Ehud Barak to be prime minister of Israel, the Illuminati Jews arranged for James Carville to go over to Israel. Now, Barak was running against Netanyahu, who was then the prime minister. But the Illuminati wanted Barak, and so Carville went over. Here the Jerusalem Post says, guess what? Image maker James Carville. He went over to Israel and ran the campaign, the political campaign. They were going to have elections in Israel. As you can see from this Jewish magazine, the Jerusalem Post, talking about the elections, 1999, there's a picture of Barak, and of course his opponent was Benjamin Netanyahu. Here's an article out of a United States newspaper. No, I'm sorry, this is the Jerusalem Post again. Got so much material here, it's hard to remember where it all comes from. It says, Carville to form Israeli consulting firm. Hey, guess what? Ehud Barak did win the prime ministership of Israel, thanks to Bill Clinton, his pal, and political advisor James Carville. And Carville decided, with the Illuminati's help, to found a consulting firm on a permanent basis there. Here's an article that's very interesting. This is from End Time magazine of May of 97. Clinton tells Israelis, U.S. will stand with you always. He went over to Israel and he spoke to the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, on October the 27th, and that's what he told them. There he is with a Jewish Star of David behind him. We will stand behind you always. Did you know that in the year 2002, Bill Clinton gave a speech before 300 of the richest Jews in the world in Europe? And you know what he told them? He said, if there is a war between Iraq and the Muslims and Israel, I personally, he said, will go to Israel and I will fight and die. I will give my life for the country of Israel. He said he would volunteer for the Israeli army. He will fight and die for the nation of Israel, fighting Iraq in a war. Now, when you think that Bill Clinton is the scoundrel and the crud who was a draft dodger in the United States, who said he would never serve in the uniform of the United States of America, a draft dodger, filth. And now he goes and tells these Jews, well, I would put on a uniform and give my life fighting for the nation of Israel. We see where his loyalties really stand. Here's a picture of Bill Clinton meeting with Malcolm Honlein, Executive Vice Chairman of the Conference of Presidents of the Major American Jewish Organizations. By the way, the Jews basically control the Democratic Party. This Criminal Politics magazine, look up at the top left, says, Democratic Convention is described as a Jewish event. Now, that was from the Washington Jewish Week. This is in Jewish publications of September the 5th, 1996. Said there's a strong Jewish presence in Chicago. The Democratic Convention has so many Jews there, and they run so many things at the convention. It basically is Jewish. The Democratic Party and its convention are Jewish. Then down here, this is the article from Washington Jewish Week. Israel takes center stage. Democrats and GOP unveil platforms. Both in the Democratic and the Republican Party, it says Jews are preeminent. Here, for example, is from the Jerusalem Report, 1998. At the top, it says, incoming New York Senator Schumer. Oh, Vic Schumer, the most liberal guy there besides Hillary Clinton. Seen as sharing overall Jewish interest. This is in the Jerusalem Report, a Jewish publication. Look at these two culprits. They ran for president, Robert Dole did, and his vice presidential running mate, Jack Kemp. This is from Newsweek magazine during the campaign against Bill Clinton for office. They were the Republican candidates. But guess what? Robert Dole went to all the Jewish organizations and declared his loyalty for them. And so did Jack Kemp. Well, they still didn't get elected because the Jews gave all of their multi-million dollars to Bill Clinton. He was even better than these guys were. Both of these men were 33rd degree Masons. Remember what we said about the Jewish control of Freemasonry. Two 33rd degree Masons running in the Republican ticket. Hey, it's different today. We got George W. Bush, right? Uh-uh. Did you know he's a member of the Skull and Bones Society? And the Skull and Bones Society, when they're initiated at Yale University, they declare themselves to be Jews. And they say, we oppose all the Gentiles of the world. Isn't that interesting? The Skull and Bones talks about the outsiders being Gentiles. They then are the Jews? Isn't that fascinating? Hey, here's from the Austin American Statesman. Talks about George W. Bush going over to Israel. Ariel Sharon personally took him around. This is before George Bush became President of the United States. He was governor of Texas. And where is he? At the Wailing Wall on the Temple Mount. And what is on his head? The Jewish yarmulke. Ooh. But that's not all. When he came back to the United States, after being under the Israeli influence, he suddenly changed his mind. George W. Bush said that he has now decided that he no longer necessarily believes that the Jews need Jesus to go to heaven. He said he talked it over with Billy Graham and his mother, Barbara Bush. And now he says, I'm not going to ever say that again. I really don't know. That's up to God. George W. Bush, you see, had told the citizens of the state of Texas when he ran for president, he was asked, can only Christians go to heaven? How about Jews and Muslims? His answer to the citizens of the state of Texas, he said, I'm a born-again Christian, George W. Bush said, Governor Bush. And he said, and yes, I do believe that only through Christianity can a person enter the kingdom of heaven. Now he says, I've changed my mind. Now that I've talked with Abe Foxman, Jewish ADL, and that's what this article says, whom he talked to, and with Ariel Sharon, now I'm no longer going to say that. And guess what? They gave all of their support to him, most of the Jewish organizations in America. And that's amazing since Al Gore had such terrific Jewish report too. But the real insiders, the Illuminati insiders, gave it to George Bush. This photograph was taken in the White House, and I think it's shocking. The White House released this. They wanted everybody to know. There he is saying the pledge, but look at the flag picture. The Israeli Star of David. Is that who he really has allegiance to? Now, here's a picture, my friends. You have to be very careful and understand this. I'm now writing a book that exposes some of these hidden hand signs. Here is Ariel Sharon meeting at the White House in Washington, D.C. with George W. Bush. I want you to notice three things. Notice their hands. Their hands are both in the area of the genitals, or close to it. And notice they have triangles pointed downward. Each of these gentlemen's hand, this is a staged picture. This is a Masonic, alchemical, secret sign picture. This tells you everything you want to know about why we support Israel. My friends, look at those very carefully. Two triangles. You put two triangles together, my friends, you get the Jewish Star of David. But look, both of them indicating the, and by the way, the triangle pointed downward in that particular position is the unholy trinity of Freemasonry and of occultism. Now, over Ariel Sharon's head, you'll notice on the shelf right behind him, this was staged perfectly on purpose. There is a bust of Abraham Lincoln. Remember there was horrible turmoil and fighting in the Civil War of the United States, the North against the South? Abraham Lincoln led the forces to unite the country. Now today in Israel, there is fighting between the Palestinians and the Israelis in that same country that used to be just Palestine. Now it's called Israel. And you know what this is a sign of? We will unite. We will put down the Palestinians. And then we will control all of Israel. Just like Abraham destroyed the South and brought together again in a union, the North and the South in the Civil War. I will be the Abraham Lincoln of Israel, this picture declares. And that is with George Bush's approval. And then the two triangles there of Masonic occultism. My friends, what does that tell you? Okay, now we get to the fact that one of the reasons they have such powerful influence in America is because of our Christian leaders. There's Jerry Falwell. There's Pat Robertson. There's James Dobson. They all say the Israelis are God's chosen people and we've got to give them whatever they want. You know, that's what God will bless us. Of course, that's not true, but that's what they believe. Here, by the way, is a picture of Tom DeLay. He's one of the chief Republicans in the House. And he gave a speech, which he flat out just said, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, so we've got to give all of our support to Israel. And basically, Tom DeLay said, to hell with the Palestinians. Now, here's some interesting pictures. Did you know there was a bill passed? George Bush Sr. passed a bill in Congress and called Education Day, and it was by the Lubavitcher sect of Orthodox Judaism, promoting that. I thought there was a separation of church and state. The Lubavitchers, and here, by the way, is a picture of Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, head of the Lubavitchers. The Lubavitchers believe he is the Messiah. Of course, he died, but they believe he's going to be resurrected and come back to life. Look at some of these pictures of powerful American senators, presidents, and so forth, meeting with the head of the Lubavitcher cult of Judaism. Not only are the Illuminati Jews dominant in the United States of America today, but also in Russia. I still call it Soviet Russia. Many other people just call it Russia. Not too long ago in my Power of Prophecy, March 2000 issue, I showed this picture from the New York Times of the column of William Safire. He's Jewish, and he's one of the top columnists in the nation. He says Soviet Jews no longer have anything to hide. And the reason why is because the Russians who are Jews, the Jews today in Russia, are the richest and most powerful minority. They control most of the wealth of Russia today, says William Sapphire. And so they control most of the country of Russia and its culture, its society. Regardless of what all of these Christian organizations tell you about anti-Semitism in Russia, it's just not true, says William Sapphire. Here's one example of it. For example, this statue was recently erected in one of the city parks in Moscow. It's a statue put up by Jewish organizations honoring a Jewish writer. And these kind of statues are going up. Who are Moscow's real rulers today? It's not the communists. Guess who it is? The capitalists. But the capitalists of change. They are, in fact, Jews. This is a picture of Boris Berezovsky. He's a Jewish capitalist. One of the richest men in the Soviet Union today, or the Russia. Let me go back to that. In fact, one of the richest men in the world today. There are other Jews. He's Jewish. Hey, here's a book that came out about Mr. Berezovsky. Godfather of the Kremlin. Oh, he's a mafia type, they say. And the looting of Russia. All of those billions of dollars in aid money we sent to Russia, where did it go? To these Jewish Illuminati millionaires who are members of what they call the Red Mafia. Oh, they have a godfather in the Kremlin. And Vladimir Putin, I believe, is part of that whole mess. These guys even fight each other, just like the godfathers in America did. Here from Newsweek, says the Russian mafia goes global. Look at the all-seeing eye. The Russian mafia goes global. I told you about the great city. All of these are Jews. There's a book put out by R.I. Friedman called, I was going to tell you about it, I don't have the time, called Red Mafia. You ought to get a copy of it. He's Jewish, and he explodes these facts I'm telling you about. Here's Mark Rich. He's a billionaire. He was given a pardon even though he was a criminal and deserved to go to prison. He fled the United States when he was indicted. And old Bill Clinton gave him a pardon. Well, it made a lot of press, but let me tell you something. Mark Rich was one of the men who laundered money for these Russian Jewish Illuminati chieftains. And much of the money went to the politicians in Israel and feathered their pockets into the Jewish bankers around the world. Mark Rich, that's why they gave him the pardon. By the way, if you don't believe me, here in the Jewish publication, The Forward, March the 2nd, 2001, published in New York City, says, new links tie pardons, that is of Mark Rich, to secret Israeli deals. The Prime Minister of Israel personally called Bill Clinton and arranged it. And, you know, I'm not surprised if these criminals. Here's a picture of Bugsy Siegel. Television channel did a bio, the History Channel, on Bugsy Siegel. He was the Las Vegas head of the Jewish mafia. Of course, Mayor Lansky headed all the mafia, Italian and Jews in the United States. Here again, we see the evil nature of these Illuministic Jews. Of course, the founder of communism was Karl Marx, a Jew, also a high priest of the Church of Satan, and Richard Wurmbrand, a great Christian man who was a prisoner over in Eastern Europe of the communists, certainly exposed that. Hey, in Soviet Russia, it was the Jews that founded, the Illuministic Jews, who founded Soviet communism. Don't think they were just communists. They weren't even Russians. Most of them, they were Jews, and some of them were from the United States. Here's a poster that was distributed in Russia early in 1917, right after the communist Bolsheviks had taken power. It shows the five leading founders of Soviet communist Russia. Oh, they were proud of these men, and they put out a poster to recognize them. There you see, by the way, Vladimir Lenin. This picture is at the very top. And right below him in the center is his chief deputy, the number two man, Leon Trotsky. All five of these men were Jews. And by the way, this is also from this book You can get this book, Behind Communism, Criminal Politics Magazine. Behind Communism, you'll find out that it was run by the Jews. By the way, one of the men who exposed this fact was this gentleman right here. Winston Churchill. Of the Jews, he wrote an article, by the way, all the way back February 8, 1920, illustrated Sunday Herald of London. Before he became Prime Minister, he said, from the days of Illuminati leader Weishaupt to those of Karl Marx to those of Trotsky, this worldwide conspiracy, that is of the Jews, has been steadily growing. And now at last this band of extraordinary personalities from the underworld of the great cities of Europe and America have gripped the Russian people by the hair of their heads and become the undisputed masters of that enormous empire. The Jewish Illuminati, who were underground but had billions of wealth, now are the masters of the Russian empire. This man, an American Jew, helped to finance the Bolshevik Communist Revolution, Jacob Schiff. Here's a picture of Stalin. He was married to a Jew. Had a Jewish wife, but many people say he was not Jew. There he is with Lenin. Then here's a picture of Lenin. He went mad in his last days, screamed with howl at the moon. He died of syphilis of the brain. He was Jew. You say, oh, I never knew he was Jew. Hey, here is an article that came out, Associated Press across the United States, talking about the Lenin Museum. They still have the Lenin Museum and the body of Lenin Museum. It talks there at the museum. It talks about how many tourists come there. And now the curator of the museum and all of the Soviet press, now that the communists have fallen over there supposedly, they admit that Lenin was a Jew. This article talks about it. Yes, Lenin was a Jew. That's something they hid before. Now here is from the Jerusalem Post International Edition. Who was a Jew? Why Lenin, of course. Why Lenin, of course. We can keep going on talking about this. And so much information. By the way, here's another picture of Mr. Trotsky. Did you know he was from the Bronx, New York? He was editor of a communist Jewish newspaper in the Bronx, New York. He left with money from American Illuminati Jews and went over and joined with Lenin to found communism in Soviet Russia. If you don't believe that he was in the Bronx, New York, just read the Encyclopedia Britannica. Here's the section out of it. And it has his real name. His real name is not even Leon Trotsky. His real name is Lev Davidovich Bronstein from Bronx, New York. Here's another Jew that did much of the killing in the Soviet Union. Lazar Kaganovich. In 1998, Time magazine named Ben-Gurion, David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister, 1948, of the State of Israel, one of their 100 pioneers of the 20th century. Here's a picture of Ben-Gurion. Interestingly enough, it said that he was an avid admirer of Vladimir Lenin and of communism. The first prime minister, a communist. Now, we see then, my friends, these people founded communism in Russia. These Illuminati Jews have now founded the Mystery Babylon system. The same men, the same system. They were responsible for the French Revolution and the Order of the Illuminati in its founding. Now they control the United States behind the scenes. I believe there has been basically a coup d'etat in America. They control Russia, and they control almost every nation on earth.